Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
And this just in, Oprah Winfrey will announce tomorrow that she's decided to end her show.
Is he staying his job, Congressman?
No.
So he's not coming clean with
I can't believe my ears. It was the Kennedy and Johnson administration.
Yesterday we told you about Sarah Palin kicking off her book tour.
I had a wet dream last night.
And that's just the way it is.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show where reality is the bitch. And on this show, it's a sort of Alice in Wonderland through the looking glass of media and reality that we do each and every night. And we are going to welcome on again this evening Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Ted is talking to us this evening about tips. The story in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, where some college students stiffed the servers on their $16 tip because they said the service was lousy. The tip is built in, and that's kind of a different thing, you know. So they put it on the bill there, and they say, well, you know, you got to pay it anyway because that is the tip. But these people decided that they didn't like the service, and they were not going to pay for this service. And, again, we bring Ted on. So, Ted, in your essential philosophy is that...
My philosophy is that, it's not my philosophy, this is still the way it is. You know, it's a very interesting thing. I love it when people tell me my business, and I'm not trying to lord over anybody, but I'm Ted Bell, you know who I am. I've got one of the greatest steakhouses in America. I know, people don't tip for the servers, so when servers are telling me, hey Ted, you know, you're stealing, they don't understand that nobody is tipping for their service. They're tipping so they can feel better about having just sat there and ordered another human being to feed them as if they're an infant who is just off the nipple and is now on solid food. As crazy as...
That is very, very difficult to believe.
I'm going to tell you a story, okay? And then you can say what you want.
I got to get to some calls, though.
I'm just going to tell you a story. You know this kid, the two guys from TV.
You were talking about Bubba the Love Sponge.
Not Bubba the. I'm not talking about the Love Sponge. I'm talking about this kid. You know these guys, Greg Gutfield and Andy Levy. You know them?
Yeah.
Okay. They were in. They're usually in New York. They were out here. They had some network meeting. Gutfield and Levy come in, and you know those two guys. They're looking around, their eyes casting around, and I know immediately what they want. So I got Bernadette and Sylvie. I waved them over, and the five of us went out back to the fire pit. And, you know, the girls are sitting there, and I passed out cigars, and I pulled a 50 out of my pocket.
You already told me that you lit cigars with a $20.
Well, this is a 50, so I guess it's a different story. Okay?
Fine.
And it's Gutfield and Levy, and it ain't the sponge.
Bubba the Love Sponge.
His name is Lover?
Bubba the Love Sponge.
All right. I lit all five cigars on a $50 bill.
All five.
I got Gutfield, Levy, the two girls, and mine.
All right, so you're feeding the girls. So, and you've got two servers there.
I got two servers, and they're laughing. They're laughing at me lighting cigars with tip money. Because the point that I've been trying to make with you and your listeners is the following. You can take a pocket full of tip money, and you could feed it to a goat. And the servers just keep walking around like, you know. And the reason being, they know, any professional server that works anybody that works in a rub joint of mine, I shouldn't say that, in one of my restaurants, they know that the tip money was left there so that the people who are eating my food that was served to them by individuals who ordinarily, the patrons in my restaurant would never be served anything. They'd be serving. And yet there they are being served. The guilt is overwhelming, and so they want to drop some money. We just put it on the bill.
So you charge 15%, so these people, so the guilt feeling they're having isn't as difficult.
Well, you say it, Phil, as if I'm making it up, and I'm not making it up. I've been in the restaurant business. My father drank himself to death.
You know, you told me already about your dad and dying on the golf course, and guys were going through his pockets for the skins money.
Yeah, they were, you know. And I resolved that would never happen to me. I would never be found anywhere. I didn't mind where I'm found, but I'm not going to be found with money in my pocket. That's for sure.
Well, if you're taking tip money off of people.
And I put it in the glove box. Thank you.
877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Ted Bell here about tips. They aren't given to people because the people want the server to know they did a good job. People give tips because they want to feel less guilty about ordering somebody around like an indentured servant. Here is Amanda on the Phil Hendry Show. Amanda in Newton, Massachusetts. Amanda, good evening, and go ahead. You're on with Ted Bell and Phil Hendry.
Hey, how you doing? I'd actually
fine,
like
ma'am.
To make a couple. My first point I'd like to make is now going above and beyond.
I lit five cigars on that.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I was just saying that I lit five cigars on that 50. I was telling Phil.
I know that. Yeah.
Okay. My point about going above and beyond for your customers in your restaurant, it's not about doing, you know, your daily job and doing something that impresses the manager. It's about doing something that impresses the customers. And I'm going to give you an example right now. Okay? I received an email with my company that I was working at as a server. I worked for 9 years as a server. And they stated to me that they had a bad day and they came in to have dinner to make themselves feel better. And their day had been completely shot by a bad real estate deal that had gone down. And they emailed my manager and my corporate company to say that my service made their day better after losing the house of their dreams. The things that I did, the things that I said, the way that I treated them made their day feel better. And I remember those customers, and I remember them leaving me an exceptionally large tip. And if my manager came over to me at the end of the night and said, okay, nice job, you made their day, now give me that money, I would have been absolutely appalled.
All right, now
I'm sorry,
I ask you a question, Amanda? This is Ted Bell. I'm Ted Bell, and I want to ask you a question. Did you see the actual email on the computer, or was it printed off and given to you?
I saw the email in the computer, and I have it in my car at all times to remind me that I actually did something to make
somebody
day.
Because you know those things are dummied up all the time so that servers will feel better and won't complain too much about, you know, getting stiffed on tips.
Wait.
Are you telling me?
They dummy that stuff up.
There's
a whole company devoted to it.
Wait a second. Let's not be an alpha male for a second and let me talk for a second, okay?
No, I'm not being an alpha. I'm just telling you, they do dummy those things up to make you feel better.
A corporate company does not need to make me feel better about who I am just because I'm serving in a restaurant. I went to the top-ranked culinary institute in the United States to work in restaurants for the rest of my life, and I'm currently a high-ranked pastry chef. So I didn't do this because I had nowhere else to go. I did this because this is what I want to do. I wanted to be a server, and I loved being a server, and I loved being a server because it felt good when those customers knew that I did a good job and they tipped me for it. That's what makes you feel good.
But you don't really know how they feel because they dummy up the email, to make it look like somebody wrote it. But in fact, it was written by somebody at the Horn Institute.
What's the Horn Institute?
Where she said she went.
She went to a culinary institute.
I misunderstood her. I thought you were. Did you take music at any time?
I went to a culinary institute on the East Coast.
Okay. All right. I understand.
So I've been in restaurants since I was 15 years old.
She just said a coronary institute.
A culinary? Ted, can't you hear?
I can't understand the lady. I'm sorry.
You can't understand me when I'm saying a culinary?
If you said you went to a coronary institute, I'd ask you what kind of a joint are you working in? I know what culinary is. Obviously, I do. And I would say that you are an outstanding server, regardless of whether anybody has ever said so. Obviously, you know your job, and they know you know your job, and that's why they dummy up the email so you'll feel better and you won't leave and go somewhere else.
So you're telling me that no patron actually wrote an email?
It's very unlikely, very unlikely. No, I've done it many times.
It's very
times.
Unlikely.
Hey,
the patrons, wait a second.
Bernadette, come here,
those
look what they wrote about you, hey?
Those patrons came back in and said, hey, did you get our email? And I said, yes. And you know what? At the same time, I was given something by the company for receiving that email as well. So it wasn't a dummy
Amanda,
email.
I know you're calling from the Boston area, and there's a very big SAG guild there. Those are actors, as you know. The Screen Actors Guild is in Boston. And it's very likely that two actors were hired to come in and have dinner.
You live out of reality, and I just want to make.
Are you kidding? Are you telling me that that actually happens?
A lot of restaurants will do that when they don't want to lose good people like Amanda. They'll hire a couple of actors, put them into a costume, and they come in, oh, wow, the food's just great, you know.
This corporate company,
well, you know,
Ford did not need to hire people to tell them the food was great. They're a corporate company. They've got plenty of people that go into their restaurant every single day. So they didn't need to hire anybody. First of
all, it could have been two people from the corporate office that you don't know. It could have been the owner of the restaurant.
The way that you talk about your customers, I'm sorry, but you have you lack respect for your customers. You're saying that your customers come into your restaurant just to order somebody around and feed them for a night to make themselves feel good. That's not why people go out to dinner.
They don't go out to dinner
and say, feed me, make me a sandwich. That's not why people go out to dinner.
That's what they're thinking. That's human nature. But we still serve them, and we go, yeah, thank you very much, and we grin, and we smile at the end of the night. You know as well as I do, Amanda, we curse their very lives and existence under our breath. But they, you know,
That's not necessarily true.
Ted,
that it's true for some people, but it's not true for every customer. I have customers. I walked into a movie theater tonight, and a customer's son that I had, I haven't worked in this restaurant in 4 years. The son of one of these customers came up to me in this theater and said, hey, Amanda, you know who I am? I said, no. He said, I'm Karen's son. And then immediately I recognized him, and I said, hey, how's your mom doing? I'm sorry, but these people, you make an impression on these people that go out to dinner.
I would say that a tip, yeah, it's not so much a tip, it's a guilt fee. You know what I mean by a guilt fee? It's a fee to free them from the guilt of having ordered you around like you're carrying someone's slop bucket.
So you think that, wait a second, let's put into perspective. Okay, so
yeah,
you have a job as a server, and these customers come in and they say, I would like to order this, could you please get me some of this? And then let's put it into perspective as like a real estate agent. You're going to the real estate agent and you're saying, hey, I'm looking for this house. Does that person that's trying to buy a house feel guilty for ordering around that real estate agent by saying,
Gutfield Gutfield and Levy came into my restaurant, and we were lighting $50 bills from the tip money, and they were howling with laughter.
You're lighting the tip money of these people that you're paying minimum wage who can't afford their bills because we're in a recession right now, and you're out there in front of them waving your $50 bill around, burning in front of them, and it's killing them. They're not going to say it because you're their boss.
Amanda, you're a pastry chef. You're not a doctor, okay? So you're not changing lives here. All we're doing is we're serving them. You know, we're going into the soup bowl. We're throwing something in a bowl, throwing something on a plate, dropping it in front of them and saying bonjour or whatever French stuff you want to say. And
boy, Ted, it sounds to me like you hate your work.
Hate my work?
How could you enjoy... You know, you throw something on a plate, go out there, light $50 bills, ha, ha, ha. Hey, Bernadette and Sylvia, come on out here and sit in Gutfield and Levy's laps. I mean, what is that?
Oh, now, wait just a minute.
No, what is that, man? Those two girls are hired to serve. You got them sitting in laps.
Now, you hold the phone, friend. Hold the phone. Those guys spread a lot of money around in my place.
So you don't auction off your servers because they spend a lot of money at your place. They're human beings, and you have to treat them like human beings.
I'm not auctioning anybody off. I don't auction anyone off. There's a flat, not a flat fee. I was going to say that.
A flat fee?
I didn't say anything like that.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Wow, I heard it too. I'm with you.
Wait a second. I'm a sponsor on this program.
I heard you say there's a flat fee to have Amanda and Sylvia sit in your lap.
I didn't say my lap, did I? So I just got you on that one.
In a customer's lap.
I'm not going to sit on anybody's lap.
He stuttered. Well, Amanda, before you sit on anyone's lap, obviously we'd have to have a... Now, I guess you're going to think I'm being rude, but I don't want you bruising people, you know. I'd have to get a good look at you. But the point that I'm making...
You're not going to get any look at me because, first of all, my girlfriend would come over and kick you in the nuts. I'm sorry, but she'd kill you.
What are your girlfriend? Oh, I get it.
We don't do that in Pennsylvania, do we?
Here we go. You got these diesels that are going to pull a knife on me, huh? You're going to stick me?
No, I'm...
A diesel is going to stick me.
What's a diesel?
You know what I mean.
All right.
I was a server in a very respectable restaurant, so I don't have that look. Okay, my girlfriend was a
Are you a pastry chef or a lesbian or a doctor or what are you? Because you're changing professions as we speak. One minute you're telling me the psychology of lighting a $50 bill. The next minute you've got some diesel that's going to stick me with a prison fashion shank. Then you're
You know what, Amanda? Very good call, okay?
Well, here he goes again.
No, it was a very good call. I gotta move on. I appreciate it very much. 877-876-PHIL. Would you not say diesel, please?
She just said that she's got a... God.
877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with the final segment with Ted Bell on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Thank God.
Phil Henry.
Do I get shanked and Amanda gets the gun? Get it.
Phil Henry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
This is Ted Bell. I'd like to invite you to my restaurant. I think that the way my restaurant has been portrayed on this show tonight has been unfair. And if you don't come to my restaurant as a result of this, I would understand that.
That's not fair.
Well, that's exactly what's happened.
You know what? I don't think that that is fair. Get Ted Bell's line up for me. I can't even hear you, man. I can't understand why you said that.
Because of the way that I've been treated on your program tonight, I would be shocked if I get one Christian soul in my restaurant tomorrow. And you called me a thief, you called me a liar, you called me a pervert.
No, I have not, Ted.
You said that I'm paying a fee for women.
Didn't you say a flat fee?
No, I did not.
All right. Okay, I believe you.
Right.
877-876-PHIL, as we talk about the policy at Ted's restaurant and maybe other restaurants where they don't give the tips to the servers. They just charge a flat tip fee on the bill, and then Ted keeps the money because he's the only one doing work above and beyond. He has to walk around and meet and greet people. Here's Karen on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell. Karen, go ahead. You're on the air.
I have a couple questions, but I understand, you know, a minimum tip added on. I don't have a problem with that. And usually if you're going to that restaurant, you kind of already know ahead of time that's the way. But if I have good service, I develop a relationship, you know, like I ask for something maybe a little different and I'm taken care of, you know, I have no, you know, I want a tip extra. But that's because, you know, the history when I was a server years ago, it was, you lived on...
You feel guilty.
I mean,
you feel guilty.
Why else would you do it? I mean,
you feel guilty because you're changing your mind every time you go in. Hey, do this, do that. You're kind of running them through a gauntlet just for amusement.
I do not enjoy ordering people around. I mean, I think...
Well, no, wait. Didn't you say that you try different things and you just try to see how they react? Because it's almost like, in a lot of ways, and I don't blame you, but you know, the way that they treat these like an ape in a lab,
What are you talking about?
Yeah, what you
say? The lady is saying that she likes to come into the restaurant at different times and do different things to watch and see how the servers react.
I'm saying sometimes, you know, I'll do that. I mean, when you're talking about above
right,
and beyond.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Those are kind of extra things. But I have a
so
couple...
So you're experimenting with them.
Okay, fine.
She's not experimenting with them.
Do you... I mean, I'm different. I mean, I've owned some businesses before, but,
uh-huh.
I mean, they're different types of businesses. But,
right.
You know, I always treat people respectfully. And, you know, I feel like as an owner, if you want to make some money and you want return customers and everybody in your staff to be happy in a good atmosphere, then, yeah, it is part of your job to go out there and make sure that your customers are taken care of. Because what I want to know is, did you go talk to those students from Bethlehem? Did you go out and greet them and ask what was going on with
no,
them?
No, ma'am, that's not my restaurant. I'm in Beverly Hills, California.
Oh, okay.
That's a different restaurant, yeah.
No,
okay.
I'm in Beverly. I don't have Bethlehem. I had to ask Phil, was he talking about the place where, Jesus was born, and he laughed.
Yeah,
no,
well, it wasn't that one.
I want
to... No, but I want to
know... Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
So
I doubt if they've got a steakhouse there yet, you know. Probably still kosher there, but...
Can you just
go ahead
for a second? I know you're sponsored the show, and I think that, you know, you're getting great, you know, you're getting great stuff for your sponsorship. Did you pay for your sponsorship out of those tips? I mean, that's one question. But another one is, what about your bartenders? you know, do they get a flat fee? Do they get tips? Do they have to turn those in?
They do less work than anybody. They do less work than anybody because the customer comes to them. They just stand in one place.
Yeah,
I don't understand these questions.
All right. Thank you. Very good question, ma'am. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. Ted Bell on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL.
Yeah, say it again, man, okay? I missed it.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Back with Ted Bell here on our Ted's of Beverly Hills segment. Each week, Ted comes on and we talk about business. And boy, is business a very, very important subject these days in America. But we're talking about tips and we're talking about should you pay them or not, because we had this incident in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Ted, you keep the tip money that is tacked onto the bill, and you keep it because you're the only guy that goes above and beyond. Now, what if they give you cash? Because you've been mentioning cash here.
If they leave it on the table, it is a tip that was a part of what we tack onto the bill. Now, look, let me tell you a story here, Phil, because you know that a lot of big celebrities and actors and everything come into my restaurant, and I'm not trying to drop names or anything.
Well, you've been dropping them pretty good tonight.
No, I have not, Phil. That's very unfair.
You mentioned Bubba the Love Sponge, Greg Gutfield, Andy Levy.
That's not name dropping. Those. All right. Okay, oh, wow, Bubba the Love Sponge. Boy, that really, that's going to get the Inquirer in my place, isn't it? I chased one of those guys away from the front door one night. Did you know that?
What?
One of those Inquirer guys, I chased him away from the front. They hang around the front of Maestro's, they hang around the front of all these places, but not me. When I see one of those long-haired, and they got the greasy-haired creep with the camera, I tell them either they're going to get lost, or they're going to be a part of the grill of my Jaguar. What do you think of that?
You know, Ted, you're real good at bullying people, man.
Let me tell you what happened the other night. This kid came in. He is a singer. Forgive me, I don't know his name. He said his album went platinum. And I said, you know, that's great. I don't know what that means. It sold a lot of albums, right?
Yeah, the album goes platinum. Who was it?
It was not Oscar Mayer. Oscar Mayer's the baloney, right? Yeah, it's the baloney company. Although if you heard his music, maybe you thought it was baloney. I don't know. Oscar Mayer?
Oscar Mayer? Who came into your restaurant?
I'm trying to think. The guy's name is Oscar Mayer, or it's...
John Mayer?
Yes, John Mayer. John Mayer.
Oscar Mayer, and you get the John Mayer.
I don't know who he is. He's a nice man, though. He came in and he tipped me a Benjamin... who's the guy? A Benjamin Franklin. Okay? You want to know what I did with it? I said, hey, John, look at this. I went outside... And I lit up the fattest Cohiba I had left in the humidor, and he laughed. He laughed until he was sick. I'm serious. He laughed until we had to towel it up. So you see, Phil, you know, they...
So you say you're really telling a nice story about John Mayer, aren't you? You're saying that here's John Mayer, a man that's loved by people, and he came in and he gave you a $100 tip, and you lit a cigar with it, and he laughed.
Well, he was laughing at something. You know, I don't know his music. He did a song about bodies and a wonderland of bodies. Do you know that?
No, I don't. Your body is a wonderland.
Thank you. I'm kidding around.
You know, you can kid all you want, but the fact is you've got employees who could use that money that you're lighting cigars with.
You know something, Phil? A terrible lie has been told in this country. People pay tips to help the servers. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. They don't. They pay that money so they can walk out of that restaurant and feel assured that they'll make it home without pulling over, putting a pistol in their mouth, and sending the bullet and what few brains they have to the back window. Because I can tell you...
Oh, my God.
I can tell you they feel guilty ordering people around to serve them like they're working in a saloon.
877-876-PHIL. We'll go to a phone call here. And listening to us in Peoria, Illinois, is Kevin. Kevin, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Phil. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Ted, I got a question for you. Do you credit cards at your restaurant there?
Of course.
Of course? Well, let me ask you this. Does every one of your servers have their own individual number when they log into that credit card machine so you keep it all straight at the end of the night?
Their individual number?
Yeah, every server should have an individual number that they log in with on the credit card machine when they ring up a check, correct?
I'd have to check and see, but if that's the way it goes, sure. They usually take it over to the bar, and I have the kid that works the bar, who's an Iranian kid, he usually processes it through.
All right, well, then the next question is, who's paying the taxes on that? Are you paying the taxes on their tips?
Who's paying the taxes on the tips? They do.
Yes, sir. Okay, so the help pays the taxes on the tips, and you
Absolutely.
Collect the money. Is that how that works?
Exactly.
Exactly. Oh, that sounds real good. That sounds real good. If you did actually operate a restaurant, I think the IRS would be really interested in that. Next question for
if I
you.
I did actually, you know what? You come on out to Beverly Hills, the steak's on me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's great. I can get all the steak I want. I run my own restaurant, Chief. Next question.
Excuse me, Beverly Hills, I said, not Peoria, and I don't want to, you know, I could go a long way with that one, but I...
Don't knock where the guy is. You know, you're both fellow businessmen, okay?
Look, this guy is trying to call me a crook. You don't think I'm that stupid, do you? And
yeah,
I run my business above board. You do? You want to know who one of my best friends is? David L. Snowden. You know who he is? The chief of police of Beverly Hills. Yeah.
And that means what?
Let me ask you a question.
I know cops. I know cops, and cops know me.
I'll bet they do.
Let's talk about food costs.
Is he still here?
Let's talk about
the restaurant guy?
What percentage?
Hey, what is 20? Let's talk about your restaurant. What do you do for a living?
I run a restaurant.
You own it or do you run it?
My parents own it. I run it.
Well, how about that?
Now,
so they got you in a monkey suit, and you think you got the whole thing figured out? If you did, you'd be running the rest. You'd be owning that thing. You know that your mother and father don't want you to have your hands on that restaurant because they know that you may have your hand in the till.
That's not even fair to say, Ted. Because
this guy's calling me a crook. How do I know he's not robbing his own mother and father?
You know,
this
conversation that we're having here is...
When's the last time John Mayer came into your restaurant? Or whatever his name is.
I was there last week. I lit a cigar with a $100 bill.
Yeah, he was there last week. He was just swinging through Peoria, what, to pick up guitar picks?
He was dropping off $100 bill so I could light a cigar with him.
He's dropping off $100 bill so you can keep the heat on in the place?
Yeah, that's exactly what he's doing.
Let's
talk food costs there, Ted. What percentage of your
They do have a program for that. It's called welfare.
Okay.
Welfare, huh? That's good, Ted.
Yeah,
that's where you're going
to
be.
In other words, you don't have to have John Mayer come by. You could just ask the state to pay for your heat.
I could, but we actually managed to make money.
I got that wrong. Your mom, your mommy and dad could.
They could. But you see, the problem is that I know what our food costs is. I know what our bar costs are. What are yours? What percentage of yours?
You know what your bar costs are because you guys couldn't make near as much money as I do. If you can figure out your bar costs on a napkin, good luck.
See, the funny thing is you don't want to answer because
you know what? You're a little bit of a lightweight. You know, you're too easy. I want some faster comebacks. I just said to you, you can figure out your bar costs because you can do it all on a cocktail napkin. Okay, come back. Come back.
I'm just waiting for
come
the
on.
Percentages.
This kid's slow. He's too slow.
What percentage is your food?
And I also told him that I knew the chief of police of Beverly Hills.
It doesn't matter if you know the chief of police of Beverly. Answer the man's question.
What's his question? Come on.
What percentage of the nightly take is your food cost? What percentage is your liquor cost?
Your voice is cracking.
Wait.
You know what that tells me?
You don't know?
Tells me that you're nervous. Do I do the books?
How does that work?
Do I bring in a what?
Is that how that works?
A Pollock? That's how they talk in Peoria, Phil. I forgot. Hey,
you
talk that crap. Why don't you come on out here? Hey, why don't you come out here and talk that crap down on Garvey?
You don't know, do you?
Come on out and talk your Pollock. Come on out and talk all your Pollock talk down on Garvey. See how long
you
last.
You don't know what percentage of your bar.
You don't know how to stay alive. Okay, you got a bigger problem than me. What's your bar cost? What's your bar tab at the end of a usual work night?
What is that supposed to mean?
He's probably drinking up. I know why this guy can keep track of the stock, because he drinks half of it.
I keep track of my stock.
You know, Ted, you're about as unprofessional. First of all, you've been talking about stealing money. Then you're mocking this guy. Then you're saying that he's drinking up his stock. You haven't answered any questions that he's been asking.
This guy's talking about Pollock. You want me to take him seriously?
The fact of the matter is, he's asking you some serious questions. You've made some pretty astounding statements here tonight. Charging a flat fee for waitresses. Lighting cigars with $100 bills. You know the chief of police of Beverly Hills.
I do.
John Mayer came in and tipped you $100. You know, Levy and Gutfield, all of this stuff. And this guy runs a restaurant, and he...
His mother and father run the restaurant, okay? He takes orders from them.
The fact is, he knows the business of the restaurant and has asked you a lot of questions.
Wait a minute. What is this asking me questions? I sponsor this segment of the program. Have you got a jingle, kid? Hey, kid.
Yeah.
Kid, have you got a jingle?
Yeah, I got jingle in my pocket right now.
No. I mean, do you have a commercial advertising budget? I guess you didn't know what I meant.
No.
I bet you that's how you figure out how much money you got, by the way, though, to see how much your pocket's jingling. But listen to this.
We have a good
listen
restaurant.
To this
we don't actually have to
and
advertise.
Yeah. This cost me a lot of money. Now I want you to Kevin, is that his name? Kevin, right?
Yeah, it's Kevin.
Kevin, listen to this line. I paid a lot of money for this line that's coming up.
That's because your restaurant's terrible.
listen to this.
We don't have to pay to advertise.
No, I know about your restaurant, Peoria, okay? That's where all of the diseased cows are dropped off.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
How about that? We want to put our meat in your mouth.
All right. Thank you very much. Kevin, good luck with your restaurant, man. Good luck with your restaurant.
No problem.
My brother. All right, man. 877-877.
You cut off Ted Bell. He's going to be mad.
I don't care. He's starting to highlight, hey, listen to this line. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. We're going to get to the stories we didn't get to. Thanks to Ted Bell. I don't know for what, man.
You know, I got off the phone with him. He's pretty mad on account of you hung up on him. And he said you left him, that he's got a towel off.
What do you mean he's got a towel off? You know, that guy was talking all kinds of smack all night long about his restaurant and what you do with tip money. And he finally has a guy who's challenging him. That kid runs a restaurant.
Yeah, but Ted said that kid was not off the nipple yet.
Well, for not being off the nipple yet, I mean, he was asking Ted a lot of really good questions. And all Ted could say was stuff like, you got your hand in the till.
Yeah, and then another thing Ted said.
I don't want to know what Ted said through you.
Yeah, man. Ted can call him up himself. He's got the number. He does?
Yes, he does. He has my number, okay?
Oh, okay, because I gave him your home number.
Don't give him my... Out of here with that. All right, Arkansas cops suspended. Now, this, after listening to you, Bud, and after listening to Ted, this is actually a relaxing story. Arkansas cops suspended after using taser on girl age 10. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. This is an example of another one of those misleading headlines. A police officer used a stun gun on an unruly 10-year-old girl after he said her mother gave him permission has been suspended, but not for using the taser. No, he was suspended for not having a video camera attached when he used it. That's what he got suspended for. Mayor Vernon McDaniel said Officer Dustin Bradshaw was suspended Wednesday for 7 days with pay. McDaniel said the suspension is not following department procedures because he didn't have the camera on. McDaniel wants Arkansas State Police, the FBI, to look into whether the use of the taser was proper. The girl, who wasn't identified, wasn't injured, and is now at the Western Arkansas Youth Shelter in Cecil. Now listen to this. Police were called to the home on November the 11th after the girl's mother couldn't get her to take a shower. Bradshaw's report says the girl was violently kicking and verbally combative when Bradshaw tried to take her into custody, and she kicked him in the groin. He said he delivered a very brief drive stun to her back. A dry stun is what it's called. That is, they directly attach it. Her mother told him to taser if I needed to, Bradshaw wrote. Kim Brunell, a spokeswoman with the FBI in Little Rock, said her office neither confirms nor denies when it's involved in an investigation and declined to comment. State police have declined to comment. Police Chief Jim Noggle said Wednesday that tasers are a safe way to subdue people who are a danger to themselves or others. We didn't use the taser to punish the child, just to bring the child under control so she wouldn't hurt herself or somebody else. If the officer tried to forcefully put the girl in handcuffs, he could have accidentally broken her arm or leg. When have we said that? Gee, I heard somebody say that. Oh, I know who it was. Me. He said a touch of the stun gun less than a second stopped the girl from being unruly, and she was handcuffed. She got up immediately, and they put her in the patrol car. I don't have a problem with it. I don't give a damn if she is 10. I just don't. And you know something else? These stun guns and these tasers and all of these other weapons that have been used in the past by police officers, they're used for one reason, because chokehold is out, baton is out, guns are out. Gradually, we narrow the area of operation for police officers in subduing suspects. We don't want them to get the crap kicked out of them. We don't want them to get billy stick to death. We don't want them to get shot. We don't want them to get thrown off a cliff. We don't want them to get their arms or their necks or their legs broken because the cop, we don't want a chokehold so they die from suffocation. But somehow we tell these cops to go out there and get people under control to bring them someplace. All right, I'm done.
That's pretty good, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. All right, 877-876-PHIL, the number here on our world-famous Phil Henry Show each and every night. We do have the, our stories that we couldn't get to that are forthcoming. A reminder on our website, philhenryshow.com. You can go over and you can check out the on-demand video of the show tonight. Just head on over to philhenryshow.com. We'll have the on-demand up by tomorrow, and you can see a five-day archive of on-demand video. The stories we didn't get to tonight. A suburban Philadelphia police chief says two teenagers being held after officers arrested them and found video recordings they made of themselves burglarizing homes. Nice move. Upper Darby Police Department Michael Chitwood told reporters on Wednesday that the 15 and 16-year-old boys terrorized the neighborhood with their burglaries and added a bizarre twist with the video recordings. Chitwood says in one of the homes they unwrapped Christmas presents and stole electronic games. He says they can be heard on the video, remarking that Christmas came early for them. Police say they had just set off a burglar alarm when officers caught them on the street with backpacks full of around $1,000 worth of stolen goods, mostly electronics. They're being held in juvenile detention. In Fargo, North Dakota, Fargo police said a man ran over a light pole and punched a police officer in the mouth when the officer tried to arrest him. Police Sergeant Mark Lycan said police got a report about 2 a.m. Thursday that a pickup hit a light pole and pulled into a nearby parking lot. Lycan said the driver allegedly hit an officer in the mouth with his fist when the officer went to arrest him in his apartment. Police said the light pole had to be disconnected because of the damage. The driver faces charges that include drunken driving and assault against an officer. And when it's cold, too, man.
It's gotta hurt.
A two-year-old in North Mississippi has done something few toddlers can. He helped his mother give birth to his brother. Bobby Favaza is his name. He told the commercial... Wait a minute. Bobby Favaza is the mom. And she told the commercial appeal she went into labor this past Friday and gave birth on the family's living room couch in Olive Branch. She said her toddler, Jeremiah Taylor, got her a towel and caught the baby before firefighters arrived to cut the umbilical cord. Favaza gave birth to a 7-pound, 4-ounce baby boy named Cameron Taylor. Is that heavy or what, man? She had been scheduled for a cesarean section on December the 6th. City Emergency Services Supervisor Greg Minot said the 9/11 call about Favaza was probably the third this year about a woman in labor, but usually the mother makes it to the hospital before delivery. Moldavian soldiers have been issued with an extra ration of onions and garlic to ward off swine flu. Yeah, you thought I was going to say vampires, huh?
Ain't that Transylvania?
No, it's Moldova or Moldova or something. Anyway, that's according to the Defense Ministry. We've introduced an extra 25 grams of onion and 15 grams of garlic in their daily ration, said a Defense Ministry spokesperson. You know, that's pretty smart, man.
You're going to stink to high heaven, man.
Yeah, it doesn't make any difference if you don't get swine. I'd rather smell to high heaven, man, than get the swine, I'll tell you that. So far, 24 soldiers have completed treatment for swine flu, while 19 are in the hospital with acute respiratory infections. Moldova has registered more than 900 cases of the virus infection. This week, most schools and universities reopened after a quarantine period was lifted, but five schools and one university remain closed. Keep that in mind, you guys. That's 1 ounce of onion and 15 grams of garlic. Ooh, baby, are you going to stink? A town on New York's Long Island is hoping for better attendance at its 16th annual holiday boat parade this year by restoring Christmas to the event's name. The Patchogue Riverfront Committee says it's decided to rename the event Christmas Holiday Boat Parade after taking over sponsorship from the local Chamber of Commerce. Last year's event was renamed Holiday Boat Parade after some residents complained that the name wasn't inclusive enough. They wanted Kwanzaa on there, and there's nothing but white people. Anyway, the committee says the ensuing controversy led to a dramatic drop-off in spectators. It says it's restoring the word Christmas to recognize that most of the participants celebrate the holiday. The parade featured Santa Claus. It's going to be held on Sunday at the Patchogue River. They ought to rename the town, though. I mean, they can maybe they ought to call it Christmas Town.
Phil Hendry.